This interview is with Dr. Joel Epstein of Chicago, who was one of the contributors on an article about dry mouth in elderly patients in the November 2006 JCDA. Joel, what prompted you to write this article?
Well, the issues of hyposalivation in geriatrics, I think, are fairly well known, but the impact is greatly underappreciated, and patients are often not treated appropriately in using the newer therapies that are now available. And so as a consequence of reduced saliva output, oral disease is potentially more severe and more rapidly progressive, but also quality of life is greatly affected. So from the standpoint of geriatrics and hyposalivation, it seemed timely to write this article.
What are the main messages that you want dentists to take away from this article?
Well, one is that in the geriatric patients, many of the complications that we may see as a result of hyposalivation are due not directly to conditions affecting the salivary glands, but indirectly due to systemic medications for other purposes. There are many, many medications that cause dry mouth, and geriatric patients, of course, have a large number of medications that they may be taking. But just being elderly does not directly itself lead to dry mouth. There may be evidence of decreased salivary gland reserve capacity so that people are at higher risk of dry mouth when challenged, but the salivary glands typically retain function, and so that there are things that can be done to manage the dry mouth. The therapies that typically are used are more palliative, and yet while they cause wetness of the oral tissues, they don't affect the complications of the lack of salivary flow. So I think some of the points are that diagnosis of dry mouth is essential. Management of the underlying risk factors or causes where they can be managed, such as a change in medication to one that may not cause as much dryness, is very worthwhile and advisable. And stimulation of normal salivary gland output through simple things like taste and chewing stimulation, and by use of the newer systemic medications that stimulate salivary output, should be considered prior to use of symptomatic medications like many of the mouth wetting agents or mouth sprays that are now available in the market. And I think one of the problems that we run into is that the dental community doesn't utilize the systemic medications as often as they should be, and the medical community is actually quite unaware of dry mouth and that there are approaches to management of the condition. Further, management of complications so that we prevent rapid dental disease, rapid caries, difficulties with denture function, and periodontal disease progression is something that must be addressed by the dental community. And the medical community should be aware that this should be addressed and appropriate referrals should be made.
Now, have you any particular messages that you'd like to give to the medical community?
Well, one is that dry mouth can be managed. In many cases, systemic medications will stimulate gland function. That may not be your first choice because, just as I mentioned earlier, change in the systemic medication may be an appropriate intervention that then doesn't lead to the need for an additional medication to be added to the patient's list of medicines they're taking. In addition to systemic therapy, though, there are a number of palliative products that the dental community will be very aware of. And again, the medical community should be aware that the dental issues can, in many cases, be prevented, and prevention is really, as in all conditions, by far the best choice. So there should be discussion, interaction between the medical and the dental providers for the individual patients, and referrals as appropriate.
And any messages for the public?
Well, this is a symptom that people are very aware of, and they should be presenting their complaints and their difficulties to the healthcare providers they're seeing. And so frequently the public will, for example, say to the dental community what issues they have regarding their oral status. They may not mention that to the medical providers because they may not think that they're interested or able to manage that. And I think they should present those complaints as they develop for this and other oral symptoms to whoever they are seeing in the medical community.
Have there been any other developments in the field that you haven't mentioned in this article?
Yes. One of the interesting research areas is gene therapy in salivary gland tissue. And there's been studies initiated looking at dealing with some of the complications of dry mouth, which is an oral infection by yeast. or candidiasis, by inserting genes that produce antifungal proteins into salivary gland tissues. Ultimately, what this may create is the opportunity to deal with deficiencies in salivary gland output and function by not only changing the volume of saliva produced, but by changing the nature of the fluid that would include agents that would reduce fungal infection, for example. And it's a very interesting area of research as a model of gene therapy, and that's ongoing currently.
That sounds very exciting and interesting. Joel, thank you for contributing this article and for giving us your insights.
And of course, myself and the other authors hope that it's of assistance to the community.